Hello, everyone! You have entered the battle phase! It is I, the Midnight Bard, your favorite bard! And I see dead people. Joining me, as always, is one of the boys, Sacro, who spent a lot of money on sacred talismans.
Too many. They kept breaking.
Welcome to the Battle Phase podcast. This is the podcast where Sacro and I and our friends discuss anime, you know, manga. We watch it, read it, discuss it. It's a fun time. And today we have a very special treat because we're discussing the first manga that was submitted to us by a listener, which is exciting.
Very exciting.
Yeah, very exciting.
We've got a huge list at this point, but...
Yeah, we have a huge list at this point, but, like, you know, we had to start somewhere, and I figured, you know, like, the first person that reached out to me, Super Morganite, this is for you. I promised you I would get to you. So today we're discussing Mieruko-chan, which is a manga. Do you have the wiki up?
I do have the wiki up.
Who's the author?
The author is... Tomoki Izumi.
Yep. So today we're discussing Mieruko-chan by Tomoki Izumi. We read the first 10 chapters of the manga, which is actually one volume plus a chapter. I actually, you know, this was a 9-chapter first volume. Let's see. The name Mieruko-chan, as it says on Wikipedia, roughly translates to the girl who can see them.
I mean, that's such an on-the-nose name. What?
It is such an on-the-nose name, right? Like, I always thought that was just her name. I expected that her name was Mieruko, you know? But, like,
no.
I guess not. Her name is actually Miko, Miko Yotsuya. So, a little bit of a recap for what this manga is about is it's a horror comedy, you know? We meet our main character, Miko Yotsuya, literally in the first page of the first chapter, and there's a ghost hanging out around her, and in a panicked state, what she does is, instead of running away or, you know, just reacting how you normally would react if you saw something really grotesque and terrifying, she pretends she didn't see it. And when she pretends she didn't see it, it turns out that it just loses interest. And so this is a story of her basically going around seeing ghosts, seeing, you know, spirits, and just trying her best to not react at all, which it's funny because the rest of the world can't see what she sees, and she is having a mini panic attack at all times of the day and trying to play it off as if nothing's wrong. It's super great.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the designs of the monsters.
Designs of the monsters.
The artist?
Yeah.
Great at drawing monsters. Like, you know what? Mm-hmm. Stop drawing humans. Draw monsters only.
the artist for this is also the author, which is Tomoki Izumi. Mm-hmm. So, you know, really cool. So apparently this actually didn't debut as a manga proper, but actually it debuted on Kadokawa's Comic Walker website in 2018.
I thought it showed up on Twitter first.
Did it show up on Twitter first?
It might not have showed up on Twitter first, but the first couple chapters were on Twitter where it got interest.
Yeah, but it's actually pretty good. Let's just jump right into it. Ha, you and I come from a horror background in content creation.
True.
I was a horror narrator. You're still a horror narrator and things. So tell me, like, I kind of feel like, how to put this? Like, we talked about Dandadan and how it was about the supernatural, and you kind of, like, didn't like it because instead of being straight up supernatural, it kind of devolved into, you know, kind of like a shonen battle, so to speak.
It was shonen with horror elements, which usually is fine, but it didn't lean enough into the horror stuff for me.
Right.
Maybe it did later now, on. This I don't one, know.
Yeah. Well, sometimes. It depends. Dandadan's weird. Anyway, this is straight up horror with a twist of comedy. So I'm actually interested to hear what you thought about it.
So I guess I'll start from the beginning. First of all, for horror content, I like everything to be scary, except for I'm not a fan of horror manga for some reason. They don't stick with me nearly as well. I enjoy them occasionally, but I've had more bad horror manga than good horror manga, if that makes sense. I've read through where I'm like, wow, this is scary. Oh, no, it's not, actually. And then I just end up devolving. It's like my least favorite anime of all time was a horror anime. It's called...
Was it Ghost Stories?
No, that's great. It's called Shiki.
Ghost Stories is legendary. Oh, man, I've heard of Shiki. I've never seen it.
It's a vampire story, and it started off fine.
Oh, wait, I've heard of Shiki. I've seen it. Like, that's the one that has, like, the really intense violence scenes, right?
Near the end, yeah, they start murdering all the vampires.
Right, right, right.
It's a weird story, because in the beginning, it's all about the vampires trying to... So they try to make people into vampires because they want to add to their family, right? And so when one family member turns into a vampire, they show up every night at the window of the other ones because they have to be let in to make another person into a vampire. So there's like this lady who's like constantly showing up because she has like five people in her household. And each time she tries to make one into a vampire, they just die. But she keeps trying anyways until there's only one left. Whole side story about her. But it's stupid because at the end of the day, it goes from, oh yeah, these vampires are evil, they're killing this whole town, to they just want to live. They just want to survive. They're like everything else. Like, no. That's not what's happening. They just murdered an entire town. Why should I feel bad about them being killed at the end?
Right.
It's like the main girl, the main love interest, the main guy turns into a vampire later in the story. And she gets run over by a tractor. And it's so funny.
I remember that. I remember that scene specifically.
It's
that one
so
showed
funny
up on like
me.
My YouTube or like my Instagram algorithm or something. And I saw it. I was like, wow, that is, oh boy.
But they were like killing people. They're the bad guys. Why are you trying to make them into the good guys at the end? And it's just dumb. The main guy gets turned into a very special vampire and then kills himself. Because the special vampires are ones that can go out during the day and only certain people get turned into them. So they can like live as basically the, this is way off topic, but they can live as like, basically they're humans and they act as the anchor between the human world and the vampire world by being able to live in both. They can eat food and everything too to live.
Okay.
He becomes one of those. I mean, he's also more powerful. But he got turned into a vampire because his love interest was like, I need this man who I've been attracted to for who knows how long because they're in high school. Because they're always high schoolers.
Yeah, it's always high schoolers. Yeah, absolutely.
Anyways, aside, leaving all that aside.
So tell me what you think of Mieriko-chan.
So Mieriko-chan is the first chapter. I liked the designs of the monsters. I was like, oh, this is cool. This is interesting, unique. I like that she ignores them. I was expecting like more comedy with that because I didn't really laugh at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like I wasn't like, oh, that's funny. I was more like, that's a funny situation.
Right.
That she keeps ignoring. Oh, that's a funny situation. But then like by the time I got to chapter 10, I'm like, that's still a funny situation, but I'm still not laughing at this. Like the only time I laughed was the cat scene. Where
they're like trying to either choose to give it to the nice clean cut guy or like the obvious gangster.
Yeah, yeah. And she could see that the guy's surrounded by like demon cats, probably thinks he's murdered because, you know, maybe he's murdering cats. Or the guy who is surrounded by like white angel cats. And you know, she's like, that's the guy. Let's go with that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. I have things to tell you, dude. And it's anyway, carry on.
I mean, I've only read the 10 chapters plus the bonus chapters that were sprinkled throughout the first 10. Actually, I think I read to it chapter 11. Because I read it through last night. I was like, oh, this is pretty good. So I kept going. There are some aspects I did not like, but let's get into characters first. So I really like Miko. She's cool. The brother gave me quick warnings of what something I would probably not like.
Yeah.
I was and like, it
her
does
brother
turn into
has
that.
Like some red flags, dude. Like, I'm like, dude, what? But.
Manga, dude. What's wrong with Japan and sibling relationships between opposite gender children? Why do they have
like,
to be that way?
I don't know. Like, because I've been watching Alia, sometimes hides her feelings in Russian.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a character who is exactly that again. And I see the memes, you know, where people are like, oh, yeah, when the main girl was so strong that the author had to nerf her by giving her a familial relationship to the MC. I'm like, this is not okay.
What? Wait, she's related to the MC?
Who?
The girl in that show you're talking about?
No. But there's a sister character that people like better. And she is, and you know, like she mirrors, I think, what the audience wants because she's like, oh my gosh, this type of manga is hotter when they're related. And it's like, bro.
I feel like a lot of...
Remember that episode of Supernatural where Sam and Dean found out that they were characters in a book and like, you know, Sam starts telling Dean about the shipping scenarios.
He's
and
like,
he's like,
Sam slash Dean. He's like, what's that mean?
And he's like, Sam/Dean, and he's like, they do realize we're brothers, and Sam's like, that doesn't seem to matter. And I'm like, God,
I think they like
it
that way.
I honestly think they do. I'm like, this is so funny because it's such a real thing. I'm like, oh my God.
And then later on, when they go to the convention for their book that they're in, they meet the gay couple who's cosplaying Sam and Dean, and they're like, oh, okay. Yeah, so there was a weird brothers situation, and I'm like, no, don't do this. Apparently it's worse in the anime, because they have to extend certain scenes, you know, so it's worse. In the manga, it's kind of like a quick scene where you're like, that's gross, but whatever, next scene. Okay, I'm making it sound way worse than it is. They do the traditional, let me wash your back bath scene that Japan
right.
does, so like, you know.
They do, yeah.
Still gross, but it's their culture. I'm not going to judge if that's a real, I don't think it's a real thing, actually.
Right, right. But, anyway, we've gotten like such a tangent about this.
I just hate it, and they keep doing it, and they did it, they ruined so many stories by adding the brother-sister thing. I know people like it, but I'm pretty sure because it's got a lot of manga, and I'm going to make a bunch of people mad, but a lot of like manga and anime people are just degenerates when it comes to this stuff with zero social skills. And that sucks because I have a lot of, well, I don't have a lot of social skills, but I have social skills. And I'm opposite degeneracy.
That was about to be the weirdest flex. It's like, I have a lot of social skills.
I have enough to get around. It's kind of like when you walked up to that guy and started talking to him at the second anime, and he's just like, yeah. And it's like,
yeah, like, I, you know, because he, well, firstly, for the fans listening, Sack Anime was fun. Secondly, let's see, I'm cosplaying Brock from Pokemon, and I see a guy clearly cosplaying Ash from Pokemon. So I figure this will be a funny interaction if I go up and talk to him in character. And the guy was so clueless as to what was happening, like so clueless. And I was like, oh, I just made this very awkward for both of us.
Yeah. Dude. Yeah. It's just, I don't know. I don't know what it is, but people who generally watch anime or play too many video games just don't understand really how to interact with each other, which is why conventions are like all over the place. They can either be the most fun or like awkward.
True. Yeah. And me personally, look, I'm gonna have a hot take. I don't think that this guy was an anime fan. I think he was a normie that got dragged there by his friends.
And
dressed as Ash because it was a thing, right? So
it was Gen 1 Ash, though. Like, why are you Gen 1 Ash and not know who Brock is?
I know, right? So I was just like, as soon as that I realized that this situation was going south, I was like, I gotta get out of here. I was like, this guy's probably a normie. He came here because his friends dragged him, and now somebody's talking to him like he knows him. He's like, I don't want to be here anymore. And I'm like, yeah, that makes two of us, bro. I'm just gonna walk away.
Yeah, just good seeing you, and then you walk away.
Yeah, it's exactly what I did. I was like, good seeing you, Ash, bye.
Yeah, I had a few people stop me at Sasuke to talk about my character, and that was cool, but yeah. Anyway.
Well, sometimes it's really cool whenever you're cosplaying and somebody knows your characters, or that they talk to you about the show that you obviously watch together, right? Yeah, and I like that. I think that's cool. But yeah, like every now and then, like there's people who are in cosplay that are not down with this, and it's like, okay, cool. You know, like, I don't know. I've had it in conventions before where somebody was like, I don't know, say dressed as someone from One Piece. And I was like, oh, hey, it's really fun, Buggy the Pirate. They made you one of the Emperors of the Sea. And the person would be like, yeah, that's cool, isn't it? Yeah, Buggy the Pirate, Emperor of the Sea. And then there's other people who you'll go up to. I was like, hey, Luffy, like, yeah. Eat any good meals lately? Luffy famous for eating. And he's like, I don't know who you are, bro. And I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
So you never know, you know?
I mean, okay, so general of thumb, if they're playing a character who's the main character or something general that most people will know, they probably have no idea what's happening. They're just picking the most generic main thing they can pick. So
I think you're probably
Ash,
right,
Ketchum,
about that.
General Pokemon characters, Luffy, Goku, Naruto, any of the Akatsukis, specifically though, Itachi.
The Akatsukis, I believe, the people who play Goku, they are Dragon Ball Z fans, are a specific breed, bro. Like, they are 100% hype for the...
Yeah, they're hyped for Dragon Ball Z, but they won't know anything else, probably.
Probably not.
Sometimes they will, but usually not. But no, never talk to Pokemon people. They won't know.
Anyway, Miracle-chan.
Anyways, Miracle-chan. yeah, it's a weird scene with the brother aside.
Right.
Hannah's fine. I didn't like the scene with the ghost groping her, which is kind of gross because you have to sexualize teenage girls repeatedly. That's just the rule of anime. I always try to look at it
from like from the lens of like this is obviously wrong and it should make you feel gross because you don't
want
to
sympathize. But it's done in a comedic way.
In this particular title, yes, but like, you know, like I don't know, man. I like to like err on the side of like they intended this to make the audience understand that this is not a good thing.
Well, sometimes you know? That you can do that, but you're doing it in a way that is fan servicey. If you're doing it in a way to show how bad it is, yeah. But if you're doing it in a way that's specifically fan servicey, then it's like, yeah, you're just part of the problem. It's like, oh, you know, we're not going to violence is bad, and then shows every violent act you can on screen to show that violence is bad.
Violence is bad unless it's really cool.
Yeah, basically. So there's that scene. And there's the teacher that shows up for like half a second, and then her perfume somehow gets rid of the demon creature, which is kind of funny. The ending of that was kind of funny how it wouldn't mess with her because she's, you know, flat as a board or whatever. But I'm also like, right. Please stop making this joke. I see it too often now. We talked about it in the last episode. I'm like, no.
Right.
But the over-sexualization of the characters is insane in this series in the very beginning. I heard it tones down later on, but in the beginning, holy, there's like a billion upskirts, tight clothes, boobs out on display every chance they get. In just super provocative ways. And it's just, it's a bit much for me. Just me specifically. I don't know if other people are into it. I'm sure people are into it. Otherwise, they wouldn't keep doing it.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah. It
sells for a reason.
The initial chapters don't really have a story to them, per se. They just kind of meander around.
It's a little
and do
slice
stuff.
Of life, right?
Yeah, it's a slice of life horror comedy, which I wish they did a little more with. Maybe they do later on. Maybe I should continue it. Final thoughts for me, I guess, on before I hand it back over to you is I just really like the monster designs. And the main character is fine. She looks cool. I like her yellow eyes.
So I have thoughts on this because, firstly, I started reading the manga and I was like, this feels like it's kind of dragging. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like I can kind of appreciate it for what it is. It's a slice of life with horror and comedy in it, right? And I'm like, the thing is, it feels almost like it's so quick. Like the chapters are so fast. That like nothing that happens within the chapter kind of has any weight to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was thinking as I was reading it. Now here's what ends up happening. I was checking out like some people talking about it on Reddit, and there were people who said, "This manga is excellent. I don't like the anime because the anime is so fan servicey." And I was like, the anime is fan servicey? Were we reading the same manga?
Yeah, so, that's what I was thinking too.
So I what I did is I went and I binged the anime last night because it's only 12 episodes. It's not a lot.
Yeah.
And the thing is, dude, I honestly think that the anime fixes every issue that I had with the manga. Like,
oh, really?
Like, no lie. Because, like, I gotta tell you, you have to see that first episode because... It really dials the horror up to 11. Like, that first episode is so much atmosphere that it like, I was like, this is categorically, like, different from the manga. And they say that, like, the anime, like, leans into the fan service. I really didn't feel like it did. I felt like it was about the same, you know? So, like,
I'm sure
to
it was.
Me, I'm...
I feel like fans of things, like, when you read something, it's different than when you watch it. I don't know. They're obviously two different mediums, but just how people digest anime compared to how people digest manga just feels completely different. And those,
I think you might be right about that. I think you're probably 100% right that, you know, whenever you see something adapted, because you hear it all the time whenever you talk about movies, right? Whenever like a book is adapted into a movie, people will always be like, well, the book was better for reasons. And I'm like, well, obviously you're using your imagination and nothing that you made up in your imagination will ever rival whatever they put on the screen, right? It can only ever be good enough.
You know, I'll say it. Lord of the Rings movies are better than the books.
Well, that is a hot take.
But, that's all I got.
Oh, but it's one that I agree with, and I'll tell you why. Is because the Lord of the Rings is so flowery with its language.
Oh yeah.
To the point where I feel like we're just vibing, right? And I'm like, that'd be fine if this was a fantasy novel about us chilling. But I'm like, I feel like there's a sense of urgency that it takes the narrative a while to catch up with. But that's Lord of the Rings. As far as Mieroka-chan, the anime dude, like, I really do feel like, because here's the thing, and I'm going to just go ahead and talk about what was probably our favorite little twist in the manga, mm-hmm. the dad.
Yeah.
Right. So the thing is, in the anime, you know, in the manga, you learn about the dad, you see the dad in the same chapter that you learn that he's dead. In the anime, the dad's hanging around from episode one. And it is staged in a way that nobody reacts to whatever he's saying, right? So it's almost like, yeah, the dad's there and he's moving about as if normal, right? So it's just like he talks to people and, like, you know, like the conversations are framed in such a way so that they could technically be talking together. So whenever it comes around to showing you that he's dead, I was like, oh, that hits so much harder. That hits so much harder because this whole time it felt like he was alive. You know, I'm like, it's insane. Mm-hmm. And with the monsters in the anime are so much more, oh gosh, like it feels like they have so much more presence, you know, and maybe it's something about them being animated and the grotesque way in which they move and they sound. It really feels like it's elevated. That's not to say that I thought the manga was bad. Once we got to the other thing, the cat episode.
Yeah.
Like whenever you see what Miko sees when she sees when the nice guy comes to ask for the cat, hits so much harder. Like the way that this is animated is something that I was like, oh, in case you had any doubts that this guy was just bad news, that this left no doubt. But contrastingly, the way that the gangster, like, that his spirits are animated, it almost has like an Ave Maria sort of like vibe to it, you know, where it's just like,
yeah.
Like the cats, like the glowing cats, like materialize on him, and they're like so gentle and so happy, and it's just like this is definitely a manga that benefits from the medium of animation, and I can totally see it. So like I'm trying to recommend it to you because I know that you're like not really big into fan service, and I'm like people say that the fan service is worse. Dude, I think it's the same, but I really do think that this is one that's better to watch as the anime.
I would watch it. Most of the time, the reason I don't watch fan service animes that are like, as long as they're not over the top, just like a butt shot here or there, or whatever, I can usually skip past it. But I watch most of my animes with my wife, and she doesn't like that.
I see.
At all. Occasionally, if it's as a joke, she'll be fine with it. But if it's like so prevalent, it's happening 2 to 3 times. Like the reason we haven't watched Railgun, even though it's my favorite anime, is because season one is so much fan service. Season two cuts all of it out. And it's season two is infinitely better than season one because of this reason.
I do have to say that it is kind of like a thing with this one that like it's difficult to tell where it stops. But it does eventually stop. And again, I binged the anime, right? So I got all the way through all 12 episodes. And I can tell you that I'm like, I really hope this gets a second season because it really was good. And I'm probably going to keep reading the manga because I'm like there. I bet you because manga and anime are different in that there's things that you can like do in a manga that you can't do in an anime. And there's things that the anime can show you better than the manga can.
Mm-hmm.
And I do feel like this one might be one of those scenarios because the guy with the ghost cats comes back.
Does he come back in the manga or?
Well, that's what I want to know, because he comes back in the anime for sure. And his story was one that I was like, oh my gosh, I never see this get adapted into anime. Never. Never. Like, this is never like a story that you see because it deals with familial abuse, you know, like with like overbearing parents and things like that. And, you know, like it's one thing where it's like, oh, you know, you must do good in your studies, this and that. But like his mom was psychotic, dude. This was some real misery stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, this is so good. This is so good. So like, my opinions on the manga as I was reading it was like, this is fine. I can kind of appreciate it for what it is, but it's probably not something that I would continue with. And then I watched the anime and I was like, okay, I need to know. Like, because as much, you know, there's a lot of setup that you can kind of see. Mm-hmm. With the manga as it's going. Like, so for example, Miko can see ghosts. Other people can see ghosts. They talk to a medium who can kind of see faint traces of them. Hana apparently is just radiating aura, and it's kind of like something that's attracting these ghosts.
It's also killing them.
It burns some of them.
They establish that later on that it can kill someone, but before that, it didn't, because she was getting basically like molested by one.
Right.
And it was getting worse with the hand sanitizer.
And it's my impression that basically what it is like Hana hadn't like actually woken up to it up until that point. Like it was there, but it wasn't like all the way turned on. And somehow like at around the same time that Miko kind of like wakes up to her powers, Hana wakes up to hers a little bit. Or that's the impression that I got. There are some scenes that are coming up in the manga, if the manga is a one-to-one adaptation, that I'm curious to see how they were handled, because there is more going on here than meets the eye. So obviously there's spirits, there's people who can see them, there's people who radiate aura. There seems to be gods, but okay. Like, so for example, like, you know, and this is coming up actually, like where the anime is as I watched the anime, this was like one episode after we stopped. So they go to a Shinto shrine, right? Because Hana has like a really, really bad ghost attached to her. And it's after she saves the dog from the building.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So she has like a really, really bad ghost attached to her. And Miko is not sure how to get rid of it, how to shake it. So what she kind of does is like, hey, we should go up to the Shinto shrine, you know, like we should like go say some prayers and this and that. And she's doing it basically just grabbing at straws, like what is going to get this thing away? And what happens is they say their prayers at the Shinto shrine and this thing doesn't seem to be moving until the gods of the shrine show up. And these are not like, oh, this is majestic, you know, look at it. It's like either like, you know, as you usually see in other anime, like they're arrayed in all of this opulent, you know, robes and stuff like that. They seem almost like people, but godly. These are like these gods are scary. Like, I don't know what's worse, the ghosts or the gods. Oh my god, you know, it's like so terrifying. I'm like, and it's actually like, you know how you mentioned that you didn't laugh?
Yeah,
I laughed out loud.
Oh,
I was watching this scene.
I'm sure the anime catches the humor better than the manga does.
I feel like it does. And like it was so weird because, you know, like Hana the whole time was like, oh, let me take selfies at the Shinto shrine. Oh, yay. You know, like selfies with my bestie, posting them on Instagram. Meanwhile, Miko is watching these gods eat the spirit in the most grotesque way possible. And she is trying not to cry. It is so funny. I was like, this is great. Oh, my God. You know, so. Yeah, like I definitely would suggest. I'm like, dude, like try watching it. Like I know that it's like really heavy and on the fan service, but I think this is actually
I need to
really
know.
Good.
I need to know one scene first.
Uh huh.
How do they handle the bath scene in the anime? Is
the
it worse?
Same exact way that they handled it in the manga. Honestly, like they do extend it, but like I think that it was done to good effect because the ghost in the bath is basically the focus of it. It's not like, you know, oh, let me wash your back and, you know, we're going to extend this part of the scene. It's like there is a ghost in the bath and this is terrifying. And like, so the brother comes in and basically Miko is the entire time is just trying to like pretend it isn't there. So it is kind of one of those things. Yeah, the brother is just you can't handle the brother well. Like, you know, like the
way
that
he's written. Just not, you know?
You could have, but I think
you
that
think the brother's a self-insert for the writer.
Oh, I don't even know, dude. Maybe
because like, he started drawing manga when he was in high or middle school.
Oh, okay.
So he was drawing him like basically like this, and I'm like, he made the middle school brother in love with the sister, who's his MC, like his main character. I'm like, what if it's just him? He just inserted himself into the.
Well, first things first, if that is the case, I can't really judge him because every time I write an insert, the MC who is hot is always in love with me. So, I mean.
Well, yeah, yeah, but you don't have to make him you don't have to make yourself the brother. You could make yourself the guy at school or some other character.
Right.
I'm looking at the wiki and there's a scene of him giving his sister, like, he's holding out an ice cream to her and she's like, has her mouth open going towards it. I'm like, this is not right.
There's a bunch of different stuff that happens that it's
can't with brother sister stuff. They keep ruining good ideas by bringing in this degeneracy.
It does, and
I have a lot of siblings, and I'm mortified.
And you know, like, I'm not trying to defend it. I think it's kind of weird too, but like I feel like, how to put this? It feels so bad that something this stupid would make you like go away from something this good. And that's not to say that, you know, like, this is just you. Like, for example, me, there's manga that people swear to me that are good and great. And there are things in it that I'm like, I can't with this personally. So like, there's an anime or a manga called Skeleton Knight in Another World. And much to the same level as Goblin Slayer, it starts off with a very graphic.
Yeah, I've actually read parts of it because someone recommended it to me, and I stopped at that scene too.
Right. So, like, there is a certain thing, like, you know. So, like, being like, there is things that in manga that I'm like, this is a cultural thing, and there's no denying it. And I hate that sometimes it turns you away from something really, really good. Because, like, for example, another one that doesn't shy away from, like, assault is Berserk. And it's one of those that I pushed myself through it, and I'm happy I did because it ended up being really, really good. And so, like, the thing is, it's so upsetting whenever you know that something's good, the promise of it is really good, but you kind of have to push yourself through that weirdness first, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but there's other things that do similar tropes that are just as good without the stuff in it, the sorry YouTube and every other streaming service we use, without the SA stuff. You don't need that. It doesn't add to the story. You could do it once to make it like, oh wow, look how evil this person is. But Berserk, it happens so often that it's almost like, is this a secret fetish of the author? Doesn't happen like five times.
No,
there's the horse, there's the main guy, there's the girl in the prison cell.
Right, and the thing about this is that it's so far in between that, like, it's not like something that's constantly being bombarded at you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you don't need to do it so often. Like, holy crap, dude!
I mean, George R.R. Martin would like to know your location.
There's the same reason I don't watch or read Game of Thrones, because I feel like
Game of Thrones is particularly bad because it also has the brother sister thing, and they play it like it's totally fine.
Yeah, it's like people always defend that by saying, "Oh, what's the time period?" I'm like, it's a fantasy.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be like that. It's not real. It's all made up. There are no such thing as the ice giants or whatever they're called.
I don't even remember. Like, I like Game of Thrones for maybe like the first season. After that, I just kind of
I watched
interest.
The whole first season and I was like, it's okay. Because I watched it in college and then I never went back.
Yeah, same. It was like, this is fine. I tried to watch the second season. You know what? I think the part that turned me off to it is that whenever the pregnant woman got stabbed in the womb. That's kind of like the things that, like, to me, I'm like, this is where I draw the line. I'm like, you don't hurt kids, you know, like if a manga anime like kills a kid, I'm like, no.
I don't mind children dying. I don't like pets dying though. Don't clip that.
Oh yes, I don't mind children.
It's stories.
No, right, but like, I don't know, man. There's something about like harming an innocent, you know, that like really to me just like. That really like works up my like I would never, you know.
So babies off the list, children 10 and up, whatever, man.
Like there's something to be said about it happening within good context, you know.
Yeah,
because it like so key. Yeah, context would be key. So like, you know, there's a lot of Gundam series where a kid gets blown up, right? But that's a war. You know, and it's in Gundam, it very rarely gets played as like, oh, man, action, cool. It usually gets played as like, war is ugly. And I can get that. You know, I'm like, okay, so this kid dies, but war is ugly. So within the context, like, this is something that I can totally stomach.
Yeah, but at the start of Mass Effect 3, there's a kid who Shepard saves. And he just says, hey, get on one of the escape pods and you'll be fine. And he gets the kid to the escape pod and he goes away. And then his escape pod shot down right in front of him.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's
for sure.
Like that strikes Shepard's resolve. And it also gives him his recurring nightmares about it throughout the rest of this. It's, Mass Effect is so good.
Mass Effect is good. Yes, I agree. But yeah, so like that's kind of the thing is like the contextually, and to bring it back to Miyako-chan, it's like, is there a contextual position that you could put the brother weirdness to where it wouldn't feel weird? I don't think there is.
That's just Japan being weird like this all the time. Like, why?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do a study on why Japan thinks awkwardly, just kind of like degenerate sexual things are interesting. Is it because they're taboo? Is that it? Is that literally just it?
It's got to be because it's taboo. I mean, like,
the sister thing comes up way too often.
It does. And my guess is that there must be some title somewhere that like was wildly popular and it had something like that. And then the rest of like the generation that grew up watching it just started doing that. Yeah. It's
my
take on it.
Yeah. There's probably a Reddit thread somewhere where someone's trying to not just explain it, but also justify it, because I've never seen anyone cope so hard as a manga or anime fan trying to get you to watch their thing.
So, right.
Every time I talk to a One Piece fan or talk to somebody
or
a Berserk fan, I have to hear similar comments. I'm like, yeah, I'm sure it's fine. And then I just go about my day, because at the end of the day, if I'm not going to read it, I'm not going to read it.
Right.
Or watch it until it ends.
So ultimately, as far as Miyako-chan goes, I think that there is a lot of world lore, and I love the way that the manga and the anime both do this, where they don't give you answers. You know, it's like there is a lot of things that happen later on that just raise more questions. And it's almost like the show is gearing up, and it's slow to get there because it starts off so slice of life.
Mm-hmm.
But it's gearing up to be like, I don't know if you ever saw The Ghost Whisperer with Jennifer Love Hewitt.
I have seen Ghost Whisperer, yes.
Yeah, it feels like it's gearing up to be exactly that, where Miko comes to the realization that, you know, she has this gift and that she's the only one that can help these things pass on.
Ghost Whisperer with the same amount of fan service. Got it.
Did Ghost Whisperer have a lot of fan service? I mean, I remember
that. Jennifer Love Hewitt?
She is bae. Okay, so like, yeah, her being on screen is instantly fan service. Okay.
They start putting her entire character clothes as she matures.
I noticed.
It's like Buffy.
Matures is a nice way to put it.
Buffy has a similar problem, except for it gets away with it later and just starts showing hot dudes all the time. Supposedly.
For sure.
I'm not attracted to anyone.
Yeah.
I don't know. Spike's got it.
But I feel like that's where Miyako-chan is going. And there's a mystery surrounding Hana that also. So, I mean, I'm like, I really like what this show is doing. And the sense of I think that this is probably like the best thing that I enjoyed from it. And I appreciated it more in the manga after I saw the anime. But the sense of helplessness that comes with knowing that there's something wrong and only you can see it. You know, like, it's something that, like, after I saw the anime, because the anime framed it way differently, but I went back and I read the manga again, and I was like, no, it's there. It's just like, it's like I said, you know, like, the chapters feel like they fly by so fast that you almost don't feel it.
They're very short.
Until you actually stop and you know, kind of like ruminate in it, you know, kind of like simmer. I don't know if ruminate is the right word. I don't even know what that word is, but I've heard it
used. It's where it kind of like sits in something and kind of like absorbs the essence of the thing it's sitting in.
Okay, perfect. I wasn't sure if that's what it was. I've just heard it used in the same context, so I was like, let me see.
That's how I use most words, and I've been corrected several times.
Right. So I really do feel like, you know, whenever you have time to kind of like soak in it, you do kind of get that vibe from the manga. It's just not something that hit me right away, and I'm very happy that the anime actually helped to elevate the source material, in my opinion, you know?
Yeah.
So... Yeah, who's your favorite character?
I mean, there's only three. The mom was barely there. I guess Miko, because she's generally the character I would like most in the anime, and generally the black-haired girl or pink-haired girl. Mm-hmm. Those are the two I always gravitate towards.
Right.
I like them to be more less anime-bodied type, you know? Like more of like an actual normal body type.
Right.
Because it's like, I'm a teenage girl, and look at me. Two melons have grown on my chest for some reason, but nowhere else.
So you didn't like Hana is what I'm hearing?
No, I love Hana. I hated her. I hated the body type thing.
Here's the thing. And I hate to keep bringing up the anime because we were supposed to be reading the manga, right? But like, the thing is, when, and I don't know if this is just because Alexis Tipton plays Miko. And if you don't know who Alexis Tipton is,
I do. She plays Lucina.
She's Kaguya. Yeah. She plays Lucina, and she's also Kaguya and Kaguya-sama, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And for a second there, I swore that the girl who played Hana was Chika's voice actress. I looked it up later, and that's not the case. But I was like, because Hana is that type of character. So, like, you know, like, she's bubbly and excited, and I was just like, this is just Kaguya and Chika all over again. It's just a different context.
It is always the same dynamic they always do, too. Mm-hmm. The quote-unquote flat-chested girl is always, like, the more serious character or the tsundere character, whereas the girl with big boobs is always like the bubbly and happy and popular and happy to go through life doing whatever they want to do kind of character.
Is it that case in Code Geass? Because Code Geass has specifically one body type.
They have two.
They have do they?
Three, if you count Colin as her own body type.
I love how this started off. It's like, we're going to discuss this horror comedy, and now we're just like, anime body proportions and what they say about your character.
To be fair, in the 2010s, a lot of anime and manga had this problem where every character was super lanky for some reason.
I remember.
Yeah, like Bleach.
That's what Code Geass is. Yeah.
Code Geass.
Yeah, like Bleach.
What was the other one that was really... Death Note. They're just like lanky characters.
Mm-hmm.
Death Note did the best, I think, of the style.
Right.
Ah, Bleach, man. Could have been good.
Bleach. I hear great things about the Blood War.
Yeah, the
like...
anime. Yeah, I heard they're fixing a ton of the problems, but I think people are just looking back at it and being like, actually, it didn't suck as much as I thought it did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They apparently fixed the ending where the final fight's off-screen because he just had to end it real quick. So that's nice. Let me see. What else is there to say about Mirko-chan? It's weird because it's such a short one that the recording.
Well, we only
read.
Yeah. We only read the first 10 chapters because that's kind of what we wanted to do, right? We wanted to give our impressions of what this manga is kind of like, and then we, depending on how we felt about it, we could vote on whether or not we would continue it. We're going to vote and see if we would do an upcoming episode just to kind of like say, does the next volume kind of change our minds?
Okay.
You know, and stuff like that.
Is there a scene that really sticks out with you with one of the monsters? In the manga only, not the anime.
Right. With the monsters only, I have to, within the manga, let me think. Did this monster kind of... There's two, actually. So there is the scene where they have to go through the dark alley and it's just full of them.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one in particular who the moment that she walks through him, she realizes, oh, nothing happens. But now he's following me. Mm-hmm. And whenever they go to the medium, you know, like their bracelets keep popping because of all of the spiritual energy happening. And so whenever the medium gives him the special one, you know, like, this is the one that I've been pouring my energy into for decades. Yes. And so she puts it on and it pops exactly just like the other ones.
That was the one scene that made me laugh, actually.
It was a really good scene.
Because it's the third one and it was like the special one. Actually, there's also the scene where she goes back to her kids finally. She's like, I'm a new woman. That made me laugh, too.
Spoiler alert, that's not the last we see of her.
Figured.
But there's also, like, the other scene was whenever Hana goes into the decrepit building to save the dog, mm-hmm. and then that big spirit attaches to her. Because that big spirit does something really weird. He realizes that Hana has this energy around her, and so he's grabbing the little spirits and holding them up to her energy to cook them, and then eats them. And
oh, is that what he's doing? I thought they were just disintegrating.
No. So they basically get burned by her energy. So he's holding them up to her so that they cook. And after that, he just kind of like a snack, you know? And I was like, okay, so this raises so many questions about the nature of these spirits. Do they must eat each other because it's not the first time that we've seen one eat another. There was when Miko was waiting in line for the donuts and mm-hmm. the spirits
that's,
were lined up.
That was
up
the scene I was going to talk about. Yeah, that's my favorite scene. Just watching them get devoured by this thing. I'm like, why are they lining up for it, though?
Yeah.
Was it just something he did? Like, he's just like, you know, it would be a cool scene. And then just mm-hmm. drew it. Because sometimes that's just what you do. You know, you just want to draw something, so you do. And you're like, I don't care how it fits into the world.
And there is something to be said about Japanese horror compared to Western, right? In mm-hmm. that Western, we almost have like horror is a thing that's happening, and you have some manner of agency. Typically, somebody will know something about it, and you'll fight against it, even if you don't win. And typically, the horror happens because of injustice, or because of because somebody deserves it. A lot of the times, people have to fight against horror in order to come to terms with their own demons. But in Japanese horror, it almost feels like it happens for no reason. You know, like it's something that's happening, and it's almost like it's a different extension of the natural world. It's occurring around you all the time. You may not see it, and a lot of the times it won't even affect you until you happen to cross its path in the wrong time, you know, or at the right place at the wrong time or whatever. So now it's just, you're just a victim of it. And it feels almost like that's exactly what Miko's going through, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I'm reading it, I don't get the impression like that her family has anything like that would have led into this, right? Like, her parents seem totally normal. You know, like, it doesn't seem like one of them was an ancient witch from something or other, and we don't know anything about her extended family, so it's kind of hard to tell,
my theory I was working on while I was reading it, when the dad showed up and I figured out he like dead, mm-hmm. I thought, oh, maybe she witnessed it, and that's why she can see ghosts now.
Oh, yeah, like almost like Harry Potter. You can see thestrals if you've experienced death
before. I mean, I didn't go off of that theory. There's another series that did something similar where she could only see death because she'd experienced it. I can't remember what that's called. Crap. Doesn't matter. That was the idea I was going with. And I thought, oh, that's a cool idea. I wonder if they're going to continue that. And then, obviously, I haven't read far enough to know if it's going to do that or change or... But I was really hoping the mom would be like, I can see them too, but I'm not. I have to pretend as well. And she doesn't know that her daughter can see them as well. So they're both pretending they can't see them. The son can't see it because it only runs in the women in the family, and they have yellow eyes for a reason.
That would be an interesting twist, and I think I would be totally on board with it. But yeah, so like as far as scenes that stuck out with me, those were the one. Well, wait, actually, no, I'm wrong, because the scene that really, like, really, really, really took my breath away, and it's something that kind of like came back when I watched the anime, was the cat giving away the cat and choosing who you were going to give it to. Yeah,
I like that scene a lot. I didn't want to bring that one up because I already saw or we already talked about it. But also, since you've seen the anime, who's the woman that appears as a ghostly form behind him when he adopts a new cat? Is that his mom?
Yeah.
Oh, why is his mom there as a ghost? She's still tormenting him?
So do you care spoilers at all?
Nah, go for it.
Okay, he's basically the big bad of the first season.
He's a bad guy?
He's quote unquote the bad guy, right? He's not really the bad guy. What happened is his mom was a very strict, very domineering woman, and he was a lonely kid. It kind of looks like what happened was that his dad kind of ran out on them, and as a result, she kind of had like all of this resentment toward him. But at the same time, you know, she kind of like painted it as I'm your protector. I'm the only thing you need, so on and so forth. So the kid couldn't have friends over because his mom was like just really, really like aggressive towards him, almost like mm-hmm. like spiteful to anyone who would spend time with his son, right? So eventually he finds company in a cat that he finds, and he loves the cat. And the mom, angry, you know, like, no, we're not having this, kills him, kills the cat. So the spirits that are hanging around him aren't like cats that he killed. They're pets that, you know, he kept trying to have, you know, just to have some manner of connection that his mom would kill.
I figured he was good hearted, and that's why the cats were hanging around him. What about the other guy? Do they expand on him at all?
Not in the anime, no, but I hear that in the manga, this is not the last time that we see him. I had questions about that, so I went looking.
Do you remember the scene where she accidentally makes eye contact with the guy? He's like, oh, she's into me. And then both the guy and the girl are cheating on each other and they're both being chased by demons.
They don't elaborate on that, but like that was probably one of the funniest scenes inside of the anime. And I'll tell you what, because like the voiceover work that went into this was sublime. Like, you know, it was so good. Like the ghost that is the girlfriend, you know, the ex-girlfriend or whatever, is just...
Did he kill her? Hold on a second. I didn't even think about the
I don't
prospect.
Know. Like, because, like, here's the thing. I'm almost beginning to think that these aren't spirits of people.
No.
But, like, almost like bad vibes that you accumulate.
Yeah, yeah. That's
you know?
What I was thinking, too. Like, instead of him killing all those cats, he was just a bad person, and maybe he was, like, bad to cats or bad to people.
Right.
Cat, like, the monstrous demons were, like, near him. And the demon that was protecting the cat was also, like, hey, don't choose this guy. It was, like, getting right up in his face about it.
Right. And I honestly think that, you know, like it's, some of them are spirits of things, like say people or animals or things, but other ones are more like abstract ideas of evils that have either happened to you or evils that you did. So
yeah,
I think
that's pretty traditional with yokai, right?
Right. So I think that as far as the couple goes, like, I think that the spirits hanging around them were more like abstract ideas of relationships that they personally soured on purpose or that they were malicious in, so now they have this bad aura hanging around them. But as far as the cats, I think that the way that it was framed in the anime, I think those are real cats. And with the gangster guy, whenever he takes the cat home and he's kind of like coming up with a name to give him, you can see there's pictures on his mantle that are his dead wife and both of the cats that they own together. So I think that those are actual cats.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, they're also light spirits. I don't know what the difference between the spirits is in this series yet. Because some look like normal people or things, and then some are abstract monstrosities.
And as far as I can see, those are the only light ones that we've seen. Like, because even in the anime, like, the wife and the cats were the only ones that I was like, oh, these are clearly benevolent spirits. You know, like, everything else looks so scary. But yeah, like those are the scenes that stuck out to me. How about you?
Yeah, the one where the demon's eating is one that I kind of like just the visual of. I thought was cool because she was in line for it. So would it have eaten her? I want to know, because so far she could just walk through them.
Right.
They have no effect on her. So, I mean, I get why, like seeing that would be terrifying, but knowing that it can't touch you in any way, don't know if it can, maybe it can later on. But for now, knowing they can't touch you at all would kind of take away the horror aspect for me. I'd be like, okay, this is nuisance and gross, but like, you can't hurt me. I'd get bored of it eventually. I'd be like, oh man, another one's in my sink, I guess. Haha.
Yeah. And there's something that I have questions on, because like, there's a lot of those spirits that almost feel like Jujutsu Kaisen curses, where they're like an aura of something that's just kind of sticking around and just going through the motions, right? So, like, there was a chapter where she's trying to buy something at the konbini, and there's a ghost standing next to the cashier who is just, you know, repeating cashier things. You know, like, it'll be that much, please. It'll be that much, please. And there's that ghost in the bus that is talking as three teenage girls just, like, gabbing back and forth, right? So it's like, this feels like these aren't so much like almost like human residual energy, but like somehow twisted.
I feel like there's more here, but it also could just be that the author doesn't quite know what they're doing with the story yet and just thought it would be fun to post these ideas, because this is the early chapters.
That's for sure. Yeah,
and
that's
so they were just posting things, and now they're like, oh crap, I have a story now, this is serialized, what do I do?
And it's 11 volumes, too. So, I mean, it's going on for some time.
I feel like you can just make it up as you go along, and it'll be fine.
Well, in Japan, you kind of have to.
that was the idea I had for our series. We would just write a chapter each week, and then we'd go through it and be like, does this sound good? Cool. And then we'd do the recording.
Yeah, you know what? I'm down for it. It could be fun. I guess, ultimately, I want to ask your opinions. Miyaruko-chan, from what you've read, would you read more? Yes? No?
Yeah, I'd read it. I'd read way more. I actually enjoyed it. I didn't like, again, the fan service and the brother are two things that I'm so fed up with and done with anime, but it didn't detract enough. And unless it gets worse, I could actually still go through with it. I'd be fine with it.
Yeah. Okay.
Just know more the brother. He doesn't have a personality yet. I don't care about him.
Like, the brother has made a bad impression, and I honestly, if they write him out of the story, I'm cool with it.
Yeah, the one scene I was like, I must protect my sister, because when we find out she has a boyfriend, I'm like, okay, that's cool, that makes sense.
Then yeah,
I'm like, that's,
you know,
not,
like, that's why.
Then I realize it's quickly that's not what's happening. That's,
I
can't trust anime anymore with sibling relationships. I just can't.
You're almost tentatively like holding your breath whenever like there's a brother sister duo until you know whether or not the author gets weird with it.
Yeah, it's like when I was playing Fates and I'm like, oh cool, I have a bunch of siblings like that, I can relate to that, and then I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh no, we have siblings, I'm out.
We have Camilla's kind of hard, isn't she? Like
she kind of, yeah, Camilla has also like ruled the internet for a minute because the internet's gross too,
right? So I'm happy to hear that is something that you would read again, because like me personally, at first I was gonna say no. I honestly thought that we were gonna disagree because I thought the fan service would be too much for you.
It is a bit much.
I also think that this is one that I would read more. So like now we have two votes in favor. Gamma will be the
Gamma's gonna say yes.
Gamma's gonna be another vote, I guess. So
yeah, don't tell him what we said. So.
I'm gonna edit his response here in the following second. So, hey Gamma, what did you think of Miyako-chan?
Oh, I love the manga.
Well, that is an opinion Gamma had, everybody.
Wow, thanks Gamma. That's crazy you'd say that though.
I know.
Are you sure you
like,
let us say that on television?
Goodness, Gamma. Like the language, my man. This is a family show. Not really. I don't think this would qualify for a family show at all.
It could have at one point, but now it can't.
No, it can't. Like the,
we talked about the R word and excessive panty shots.
I'm gonna bleep the R word out. Trust me. So,
okay,
like,
cool.
Yeah.
What's your top three least liked animes with brother sister relationships? I'll start.
Well,
Sword Art Online. Hated it. Let's see. Not an anime. Fire Emblem Fates absolutely ruined the story. The story was sucked anyways, but it got worse. And then you could pet them if it's the Japanese version. Awful. One more. Unicorn Overlord. The most popular romanceable option is the cousin in Japan.
But yeah, so that's Miyako-chan. I'm actually glad to see that the first review that we did this year is one that we agree on. That's so rare.
It is very rare, yeah.
So it's really exciting. And I honestly do think that a lot of this has to do with like the fact that regardless of like the weird fan service or like the brother and sister thing, the events taking place in the manga are genuinely interesting. And, you know, it's not a manga that gives you all the answers right away. So like, for example, Ichigo can see ghosts and immediately he finds out that there's another world of soul reapers, so on and so forth, and then becomes a part of it. Miko, by and large, is still just in high school trying to get through her day while this stuff is going on around her. So I think that it hits in a place that most anime do not do, which is whatever this world is, we're not dragging our character into it immediately. We're going to let them, you know, go through their life. We're going to let them have questions. And if we answer them later, we answer them later. But until then, the mystery is spicy and I dig it.
Do we think they're going to add another male main character into the story at all or no?
There is a third female main character that's
right
up.
I see her right there. But I didn't know if they're going to add a, I guess no, because he's not on here.
Probably not. As far as I know, I don't know. I've only read the first volume of the manga, so who knows. In the anime, the way that the ending was written, I'm like, theoretically, this guy with the cats could come back. I don't see why not.
He's not going to be like a main character of the cast, probably.
Probably not, but like probably a supporting character. Like, because the way that the resolution happens is vague enough to where I'm like, this guy probably doesn't suspect that there's anything supernatural going on whatsoever. But like, I don't know. But yeah, you know, like I think that it's fun that we agreed on the first one. It's fun that we agreed on our first listener submitted one. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Right. And so, yeah, like finally we've gotten around to it. We've done it. And so listeners in the audience, if you want to submit your anime of choosing to us so that we can read it, we can review it, tell you our story about it, tell you our opinion about it, and tell you whether or not the brother-sister thing is hot. I mean, just leave it in the comments.
I'm going with not, but That's fine.
I'm also going with not. Please don't do that. Please suggest literally anything else.
We're gonna watch only manga. Or we're gonna read only manga that has this relationship. And we're gonna rate them.
I know. Now I've cursed us. Now I've cursed us.
Top
with it.
10 best anime with brother sister relationships, and it's like no. All of these suck.
I guess Tenchi Muyo was fine.
I remember now.
Yeah. Because Ayaka was technically related to him, right? Like, I don't think that she was his sister, but I think she was, like, what, his cousin or something?
Yeah, that's what they always do. They're like, you know what's better? They're not related, but they're basically related, you know?
Yeah.
First cousins.
Mm-hmm. First cousins
that's
something.
That's what they
yeah.
did in Sword Art Online. They're like, oh, we're not actually related, so it's okay. It's like, his mom and your mom are sisters.
Right.
That's closer than... That's the closest first cousins you can be.
Right.
I mean, they so don't. Yeah. Okay.
I was going to say, before we close up, just kind of like a weird little tangent. Are you watching any other anime or reading any other anime at the moment?
I was watching something, but I can't remember what it's called right now. It's got a really long name. And we're also watching Yonder the Dawn because my wife loves it.
Now we also have to watch Psycho Pass because that's the one that we're going to record later in the month.
Psycho Pass. And we're also doing the February recording of the 7th time loop. My wife and I watched some of that. Like we watched some of a fan dub online. Someone was doing one.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like it's going to be all right. It's a love story. It's nothing insane. It's for very, very generic love story.
Okay. Well, the reason I brought it up is because, you know, like not only have I been watching Psycho Pass, which I have opinions on and I'll save those for our recording. but also like my wife made me start watching, the Ranma 1/2 reboot.
Oh, I heard that was actually pretty good.
It is. And dude, like, I gotta tell you, like, this is like candy for the eyes, you know, like, cause the animation is so bright and colorful. It definitely leaves an impression, you know, like, and the thing is, I remember watching the original Ranma 1/2 whenever it came out back in the 90s. And I thought, and back then I thought it was okay. Like, but this one, I'm like, I like this one better. And I don't know what it is. It's probably the fact that the animation has taken, like, a severe step up. But, like, I don't know. I like it.
It's the creator of Inuyasha.
It is. Yeah. Rumiko Takahashi. She has like, a long resume of manga.
She does, yeah. I liked Inuyasha. I did not care for the ending so much, but it was all right.
Would you have liked Inuyasha better if Kagome and Inuyasha were related?
I'm not going to say I would like it better. But I'm going to say that I already didn't care too much for Kagome and Inuyasha's relationship.
Hot take. And like, look, you're going to disagree, but I think their relationship is healthier than Sakura and Sasuke.
I mean, it's not that it's not healthy. I think it's fine. I don't think any relationships in any of the anime I've watched have been quote-unquote healthy because they're based in fantasy worlds where crazy stuff has to keep happening or else it'll be too boring.
Right. Right, we're trauma bonding, which makes for a healthy relationship for a little while.
Yeah, I still want to know why Sasuke decided Sakura was the one he liked when every girl in the village was after him.
Yeah.
So what are we rating it then? What are we doing out of 10 or what?
Oh, Miyaruko-chan?
Yeah.
For the opening, I mean, it's hard for me to. Okay, let me try to rate the manga individually of the anime because I thought the anime was a 10. But let's see. If I'm rating the manga, it's slow to start, but it kind of carries the same weight. It has a lot of the same mystery. I like the characters. The little brother is still kind of weird. I honestly would put it probably closer to a 7.
I was also going 7, so that's crazy.
Yeah. God, dude, we are so in tune today.
You want to write
a story today? You want to write a like literally today?
Yeah. Send me an idea. I'll get you. I'm already writing a story for the video game I'm making. I'll do two things today. I'll have to edit today. Ugh.
How about you, Gamma? What do you think?
I've seen the anime, and the anime was amazing, and I'm quite hyped that the manga itself was just as good. So absolutely, I'll read past chapter 10.
Well, that's a number that Gamma said.
Gamma, that's crazy. Why would you say those things?
Always have a new pair of underwear, best poker face you can muster, and you'll be fine.
Wow, Gamma, why would you say that? Well, we're friends.
Like, watch him say something like just really nice. Like, Bard and Sakura are really nice guys. Like, Gamma, how could you?
How could you, Gamma? You know I like being antagonized.
But anyway, until next time, I have been the Midnight Bard, and this has been Sacro.
Yes'm.
Yes'm. And remember to follow us on our socials. We're at the Battle Phase everywhere. Adios!
Bye, everybody.